You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into 11 Personnel presented by Monticello Bank. I'm Nick Roush. He's Adam Luckett. It's February 23rd, and we've got a surprising amount of football topics to discuss today. It was a newsy week, Mr. Luckett.
Yeah, I think February in general is probably the slowest month for college football now, even with the late signing period. It's just real quiet. The portal's done. Spring ball hasn't started yet. So this is like have meetings type of season, like we've seen in Dallas this week with the committee, college football playoff committee. You start to hear other rule changes. No more cookie cakes, things of that nature start to be passed or leaked out. And so an interesting time. But yeah, I mean, with Kentucky, some other, you know, the late coordinator change and then some coaching carousel changes made some targets available. And so they're having a busy time as we all await spring practice to start here in the Bluegrass.
Which we have an idea of when all of that's going down. That kind of got leaked out this week. But it really, the week started with a big surprise when Jaden Smith, a four-star linebacker from Charlotte, announced he has committed to Kentucky. And like it, I know we say that roster building is 365-day-a-year job, but that really is the case this year because the coaching carousel was a little bit later. Kentucky was the runner-up in Jaden Smith's recruitment to Michigan. Michigan fires Jim Harbaugh, but Jim Harbaugh goes to the NFL, and Jaden Smith's like, I don't know if I want to do all this. Why don't you give me back my NLI and I'll go somewhere else. And Kentucky stumbled onto a quality player to really fortify this defensive class is one of the better defensive classes we've seen in the Mark Stoops era. Oh, you muted yourself like it. Yep. Forgot to hit that.
I think you look at Jaden Smith's recruitment. Sorry about that. Chris Partridge was his kind of positional recruiter there. Chris Partridge was the Ole Miss defense coordinator 2022. He goes to Michigan. He's kind of the one that was the sacrificial lamb for the Connor Stallions thing. He was the only one they fired out of that situation. And so he's gone, but he still decides to commit to Michigan, but they lose Mike McDonald, Jesse Minner, defensive coordinator, follows Jim Harbaugh. So I think he lost his position coach during the season, lost his defensive coordinator. So I think he decided to take a step back and reassess his situation. And it ends up with him landing at Kentucky. Again, Nick, I think you pointed out Kentucky was a runner-up, but Kentucky identified him pretty early in the process when he was this time last year, he was an unranked recruit that no one really knew a lot about. And so he has this big senior season, blows up, ends up being a four-star prospect. I mean, I think you kind of look at his tape, he fits the mold of the undersized will linebackers that have had a lot of success at Kentucky, Jordan Jones, DeAndre Square. And I think he kind of fits that. It's a linebacker-heavy class, but I think all of those guys bring a level of athletic juice to the position that maybe they necessarily haven't always had or looked for. Seems like they're trying to get faster, more athletic on defense. All of those guys bring that, and I think all of them, for the most part, like you watch their tape, they bring value as pass rushers. I mean, a lot of these guys are playing edge in high school. Steven Souls, Antoine Smith, even Devin Smith to a certain extent. I mean, Kentucky's going to try to convert them inside the box to play off-ball linebacker. So I think Kentucky's – I think they're valuing pass rush here. And I think the guys they signed there will help bring that, and they're valuing athleticism too. And so Jaden Smith is just another guy that they're going to have at that position, a position that's going to turn over heavily after this season, Nick. So they're spraying the board there at off-ball linebacker and looking to find some young reinforcements, some young talent to replenish that room.
It is very much a spraying the board approach, I think, with this off-ball linebacker recruiting, because, I mean, how many of these guys, you turn on the tape, they're playing edge, they've got a lot of athleticism, but not a lot of run stuffing, right? Like, there's just a lot of, like, the athleticism, let's see if we can coach them up.
It's kind of the NFL draft strategy. You've got a linebacker entering the last year of his probably rookie deal, multi-year starter, but you're not sure you want to pay him. So we got some day three comp picks here. Let's just take a swing on a couple guys. And that's kind of the similar thought process, I think, here with Kentucky. In 2-3 years, I would say over half of these guys will probably not be on the roster. At least a couple.
But you just need to hit on one or two. You just need to hit on two.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And so, you're taking your swings at the plate. After you've kind of missed on this, because like the last couple of years, you've, for whatever reason, the guys aren't there, or you've moved on from players. So you're going back and you're trying to address all those misses with a heavy, I think, high school signing class. And I think it alleviates what could have been a position next year in the portal where you probably have to get two guys. I think now, if you hit on one of these young guys already stepping the big role next year, now you possibly only need to get one transfer instead of two.
The funny thing, too, when you pull on the tape with all of these, there's not a whole lot that separates them. But I will say, at least in Jaden Smith's case, the dude has as many special teams highlights as he does defensive, right? Like, I think he blocked 4 kicks last year, which is just – that's – okay, yeah, all right. Mm-hmm. I like that. He's making plays in the open field on kickoff. So there's a lot to like there if they get coached up in the right way. I also just appreciate that Kentucky's cornered the market on Smiths, 5 Smiths, on all who play defense and all who play the same position, give or take, right?
And then, like they're in the front 7, right? Not down in the trenches.
It's weird. It's an anomaly. Well, fun little coincidence there. They got a quality athlete who I think can be something. And I don't think it moved up Kentucky in the recruiting rankings. Maybe one spot. I hadn't checked the update. You know, it takes a little while on those. But that's 8, I think 7 4-stars just on defense.
7, yes.
That's a damn good defensive haul. So Kentucky's doing the right thing on that side of the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, we're going to talk about state of the program probably more as this offseason moves on. To me, like, talent accumulation is not even – I don't even think – if you were going to put a worry list together, I wouldn't put that on there. I think recruiting-wise, there's been some frustration the last 2 years, but they figured it out, and then they're recruiting like they should recruit to me. Like, they're meeting expectations on the recruiting trail to me. I don't know how much more you can ask them. Obviously, you want them to keep elevating that ceiling, but they're meeting reasonable expectations, I think, consistently on the recruiting trail, even with some of their slow starts. And then I think, you know, Nick, why aren't there as many transfers on defense? I think they're recruiting well on that side of the football. I think offense, you know, with all the coaching turnover and change, there's always, obviously, there's holes to fill. But I think defensively, the reason you're not seeing maybe a ton of transfers, because they don't really need them. There's coaching staff continuity on that side of the ball, and they're developing their talent, and they've got some good roster retention over there. And so just keep doing it. They're recruiting like a legitimate top half SEC team on defense. There's no denying that.
Yeah, the roster is not the problem. You see plenty of quality pieces there. It's the other stuff Kentucky's got to get in order, which we can get into at a later date, because there was some other roster movement, but in the opposite direction, when we learned that 3 Kentucky Wildcats no longer with the team. One of them, Jacquez Keys, I don't think you can be that surprised, because he was a gray shirt. who committed to play linebacker at Wake Forest, transfers to Kentucky before the start of the season to play running back. Yeah. And so, it didn't work. Fine. The other two are former four-star talents on the offensive line. Tanner Bowles from Glasgow, who began his career at Alabama, transferred last season and was second on the depth chart at center through its entirety last year. And then Nick Hall, who is a promising prospect, son of former UK great Antonio Hall, who it's funny, like it, when you do the, I think 24/7 has like an all-time recruits ranking for each school.
Yeah.
And for the longest time, Antonio Hall was the number one guy, right? He was a huge win out of Canton McKinley, where now he's actually the AD. AD and football coach, I want to say, too. That's a big-time program up there. But Kentucky gets Nick Hall. He's an All-American, and it just sucks because he has a career-ending injury, and it's like, what can you do, man? And it sucks. Like, I wish there was more to say other than it sucks, because he's a guy that if all was going according to plan, you might be talking into playing this year at offensive tackle for the Cats.
Right. Do you need to go to the transfer portal to get another right tackle if Nick Hall is available? And he's the player that you projected him to be. I think that's a fair thing to wonder. Start with Nick Hall. Nick, you go back to that 2022 recruiting class. Felt great about the offensive line. Like, that felt like an awesome offensive line haul. Everybody felt good about that.
I think it was the top five in the country. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of these recruiting sites puts out.
Inside the building and outside the building. And you just have, like, you know, you've got three misses over there, and a lot of them were tough breaks, right? Keontae Goodwin.
You got
it's not on a roster anywhere right now.
Yeah.
You know, he had family situation. Okay, Grant Bingham, who at a time in his recruitment looked like Notre Dame was going to beat out Kentucky.
And yeah.
We all know the Notre Dame reputation they have for offensive linemen. They got another one that's going to be a top 10 pick in this draft, Joe Alt. It was a Kentucky-Notre Dame decision. He just did never factored here. I checked, it's not been published where he's going to transfer to.
Yeah.
And so
he might be out of football.
Is he done playing football? So you've got maybe two, you've got three guys there potentially that are just done with football. Well, Nick Hall with injury, and then Keontae had the family situation, and then we don't know what's going on with Bingham. I mean, that is just buzzards luck, really. And then you go, why is offensive line a problem? Like, all your problems date back to recruiting usually in college football. And that's the issue, is they've had some bad, I think, luck on even like what was considered a great class and a great haul. Keontae Goodwin and Nick Hall were both in the All-American game. Like, they were seen as some of the better tackle prospects in that class, and they're gone. And they might be done with football after a couple of seasons. So that's just a tough break, I think, when you look back at that. It really is.
Yeah, and Nick Hall, too, was one of those guys that was kind of a late bloomer, right? Had great frame and was starting to fill in, become more polished. So it sucks. It's unfortunate. In Bowles' case, I don't – like, we expected him back. He didn't go through senior day, but I don't think he expected Eric Wolford to be a coach again. And that is my connect-the-dots big brain conspiracy, is he's just like, ooh, do I want to do that again and just be a backup for a year? I'm good. See ya. I think that's what we got here.
I believe when he committed, like, the plan was for him to play 2 years. And I believe that's why he didn't go through senior day, because I think at the time he wasn't even considering not playing 2024. But, you know, things happen, and he's decided to hang it up, and he's – after 5 years, college football, he's done. So, one, that I think that opens up a scholarship, Nick. And when you look at Kentucky, they are going to have to do some trimming to the scholarship numbers. They're over 85 right now. So, that I think that helps with, the decision, right? If he just wants to step away.
Right.
But, yeah, I think you bring up the, you know, some things change And the guy he came here to play for got fired late in the process, so he might have just been like, hey, I'm done. Here we go. Let's start whatever's next in his life. And so, I think, you know, the plan was definitely for him to stay for 2 years, but he's decided to move on. But I think they needed some attrition in that offensive line room, so I think that helps in that regard.
Yeah, and, you know, you can't blame a guy who's 23 years old, spent 5 years in college football for being like, you know what, I've had enough. I'm ready to move on in life, ready to get a job, buy a house, buy a car. And you know who can help with that, Luckett?
I think I know someone who can help with that.
Our friends at Monticello Bank. They've been in business for 128 years because they're putting people first. It's where people matter. They've got 21 branches in 14 counties across the Commonwealth. And they bank wherever the Wildcats go, whether you visit them online at nbcbank.com or download the GoNBC mobile app. It's local banking with the convenience of a big bank. And the key part about local banking, too, they got the best rates. They have the most competitive. They're putting the rates on your side. So next time you're considering making a big move, check out the rates at Monticello Bank, where people matter. Equal housing lender, member FDIC. Luckett, you mentioned that February is a time to do some potential big changes. And this week they're throwing a lot against the wall and seeing what sticks. Last night we had the guy, of course they've got a subcommittee on national letters of intent, which is just a hilarious title to have. And of course it's like the big sky commissioner, right? Like he's the guy who heads it up. But we've talked at length about how crazy this stupid calendar is. And this guy's like, all right, we're going to potentially do something here. It's not approved as of yet. Where they're talking about moving up signing day. So instead of being what was December 23rd this year, it would be December 4th next year. Mm-hmm. Which, Luckett, when I initially heard it, I was like, well, that sucks for us. I was selfish about it because I was thinking, geez, we put in a lot of work and damn, they're going to do this 4 days after the Louisville game. How the hell are we going to get all that together?
Yeah, I think
it's 4 days after the regular season.
All this is really doing, Nick, is just separating the two, so you're not double dipping at the same time.
Which, so, like Kentucky was kind of doing already. If you looked at what they did in the month of December, they got one high school commitment in Cam Dooley that was already in the bag. I think they hosted two or three high school official visits, but they were mostly moving on to the portal. They're basically saying, guys, let's just get high school in the bag as quickly as possible and let's move on to the portal.
Yeah, I mean, I've talked about this. Most schools by Thanksgiving have 90% of their class locked up. The big question I have is what does it do to in-home visits?
Yeah. They don't, I mean, does it eliminate them? Or do they do them in the summer?
Why do we need in-home visits?
Well, so you can eat dinner at Texas Roadhouse.
In-home
visits aren't even really at home.
In-home visits are essentially like the boss taking you out for beers on Friday after work, right? Like,
yeah,
it's a great gesture, but you know, my kid's playing a game. I'd rather do that. I don't need to go out and get beers with not every Friday or whatever. So like,
yeah.
It's a good gesture. I just don't think we need them, especially like in-home visits were important when Tom Osborne was out there signing 800 fullbacks for Nebraska. I don't think we really need those in 2024, especially when you can like all these guys are coming for official visits in the summer. You get to see them then. You have the in-home or you go to the schools right in March. Maybe that's what you do. Maybe you have the in-home visits when it's – you know, when they're hitting the road in January, February. That would be my big question.
Your one point, though, about it, I mean, that was how Freddie got to UK, right? He went on his official visit, and then Jay Claiborne followed him back to the holler and went and had dinner with his family, and they got a deal done, right? It was back when parents made decisions more so than the kids, right? So even though it is traditional, like you when you think of recruiting, you think of mom getting the putting together her best meal because the coach is coming in, right? Like it's a big ordeal. That's just not really how things operate anymore, because most of those in-home visits, you know, Stoops is at a Texas Roadhouse, right? Like they're going to hoops, you know, like this is in-home. The in-home visit was already looking much differently, so they might just completely go by the wayside, period. They might just say, all right, we don't need these anymore, and here's a way for us to save on the recruiting budget a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know. With everything going on in December, I'm just not sure you need those. Now, they've made a chaos. Like, the chaos isn't going to stop. It's still going to be a chaotic month. And having your draft the week of your conference championship games is so, I mean, it's just absurdly ridiculous. I mean, it's absurdly ridiculous that you have it this way. But if you're going to jam all this stuff down this tube, at least separate the two. And I think that makes sense. And so you get the high school hay in the barn, the high school recruiting, and then you can focus on, you know, evaluating potential transfers, building a board, and then figuring out what transfers you're going to really go after and try to get on visits and close down over the next 6 weeks.
Roster retention, you know, that's a big part of it as well.
And that too. So I get it at least, I think, kind of creates some divide between the two instead of it all happening together. So from that aspect, I give them the old Andy Bernard good college try. I think you're doing a good, at least you're trying something, right? But yeah. I still think there's still going to be issues with this. And it's not going to really solve a ton of problems. It just helps, I think, some of these coaches get a barrier in between things. But like, dude, if you're playing for a college football playoff bid, like if you're, I don't know, Liberty, and you've got, if we win this conference championship game, we're going to the playoff. So that should be your whole focus. Instead, you're going to have to, you know, do some event on signing day or those 2 days. It just, you know, that doesn't make much sense to me, but it is what it is.
I do like it better, though, than the discussing an August signing day, because one, you're missing out on a season of evidence where not only from the high school ranks, but also the college ranks. So a coach could either bomb and get fired, and then you got to deal with kids who are scrambling to find.
That's
a new
the other
school.
Thing, the carousel, right? These coaches make moves and they get hired before that signing day arrives. Does this speed up the carousel? Is that the unintended consequence of this?
Yeah.
Is it like, you know,
you're firing everybody.
Is it November 12th? And the, I don't know, I'm making something up. And the Boise State coach is leaving for Arizona or what, you know, like what does that, is that the unintended consequence here? That's something you have to be careful with, I think. And something to watch on that.
But
the big thing is they had a tent pole event with recruiting.
Yeah.
That Wednesday in February, it was an event fans look forward to. Like, it was a huge event. People like me took off work to go home and watch signing day coverage. And they have just totally ruined that with the early signing period. And the coaches saw an opportunity to do something in their advantage, which is get the class done with so you can move on. But then the transfer portal and NIL kind of all messed that up, and you've got just this mess of a system. So to me, I like, really the number one goal could be, how can we get that February back? Like, we really could use that. One, it's the carousel's done, all of that, the portal's mostly done, like, and it can become a tentpole event, I think, for college football again. But I just don't know how you do it. Kids want to enroll early. The volume of early enrollees has just skyrocketed in the last 5 years. I mean, look at Kentucky's got like 10 guys. They used to, Nick, back when they used to have, with February signing, they used to have one, two, or three guys that would enroll early.
Now it's half the class or more.
Yeah, now it's just, in some schools have like 60-70% of their class is getting in there early. So that has totally changed it. And then I just don't know if you can go and put it back again. I think the idea of doing August, February makes sense because guys in August, you know, if you want an enroller, you have to make the decision then. And then we'll kind of wrap up that big summer, the 4th of July situation when recruiting. That's probably the biggest, I think, window for recruiting is when it gets the most attention is really that June through July 4th block. And a few days after that when decisions are making. After that, it kind of gets lost in the wash. Where in February, we had 2 months of buildup for it. And that just doesn't happen anymore. And it gets it out of the way of the coaching movement, of the transfer movement, all of that. So if they could do that, that would be, I think, the best move. I just don't know if that's even possible anymore.
I would certainly appreciate it. But as you like to say, look, the toothpaste is out of the tube. And by the way, the last time you said that too, I took a closer look at my toothpaste. They changed the tube to make them recyclable now, which I don't really – we know how recycling works. Does like, can you actually use a toothpaste tube again? I remember having a diagram in a textbook at school, but like, are we really using this again? I don't know. I'll still recycle though. Which by the way, I probably need to take that out. You ever get where your house just kind of stinks? Like you just can't, it's just like I don't know what to do about it.
I've got an 18-month-old kid, Nick. So yes. And two dogs.
I guess that's just what it is. You just got the kid stink in it. I'll change the air filters, take out the garbage, light a candle. And the thing is, if I can smell it, my wife, she's smelling all of the smells right now. She's like a bloodhound and anything.
Got the spidey senses.
Oh my gosh, it's crazy. But I digress. The other big what the hell's up with the cakes? Who decided we don't need cakes anymore in hotel rooms? Like what? Well, why?
I give them the Andy Bernard old college try because there's a lot of dumb stuff that we really don't need to do. Cakes, the photo shoots, do we really need this? I can't remember who made this point, but they're almost trying to make these, like, because they are business decisions and conversations, like the top 30 NFL draft visits where you'll host a draft prospect for like an afternoon in your facility if you're an NFL team. And you get to talk to them for 2 hours or whatever. They're almost making them like that instead of just the extra fluff around some of these that do we really need. I think they're trying to eliminate the fluff and trying to make the jobs easier. Like you don't have to worry about like the balloon thing, like the big balloons we see in the facility. Like, how much time is Kentucky spending on that? Like creating the props and creating, like, do you really need all of that? You got this big shiny facility. Why do we need balloons
hanging from the rafters? We need balloons. We need cakes. We need confetti. I also wonder too, like, if I'm 17 and I see a whole cookie cake in there, I mean that whole thing. Like that, none of that's going home. Like that's all getting eaten right there. So I would be disappointed if I was a recruit. Although I did see, like, to your point, I think it initially started as a like, hey, these kids are going to be here for a day and a half. They eat a ton. We'll give them some snack on when they aren't with us. It was something really basic. And then you see a video from Texas, and then they're just like.
Becomes an arms race. Everything's an arms race.
Yeah.
So, it's just an arms race. It's like, you know, they're taking pictures with Ferraris, so let's get a Lambo in here and let's take pictures. All right, getting the, you know, didn't Louisville have something at Bowman Field where they had helicopters private jets? I mean,
that's one of the funnier recruiting things I've ever seen. Was just, we're going to Bowman Field to get in to take pictures in sports cars and helicopters, not drive them around or anything, just take pictures in them.
And Scott Satterfield was the head coach overseeing all of that,
which is just what did we ever talk about how wild it was that Cincinnati picked Scott Satterfield over Chip Kelly?
What? Yeah, I didn't know. Michael Lombardi said that, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know how much to stock to put into that, but yeah.
Like, how much did Kelly actually interview for it, or was it just a kick in the tires to see if you're interested sort of deal? But
Right.
Man, I mean, I know Louisville fans are grateful.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see how last year would have played out without if Scott Satterfield was still there and Jeff Brohm was at Purdue.
Have you seen Louisville's schedule next year?
I have.
They go to Palo Alto for a conference game in November. Mm-hmm. Like, what?
Yeah, I'm starting my schedule run through right now. It's actually much – they play less Power 5 games, Nick, but I think it's much more trickier for them. They have to go to Notre Dame. They have to go to Kentucky. They have a weird stretch at Boston College, at Clemson, at Stanford. They go a month without playing a home game, and then they make 1 week pit stop before going to Kentucky. So four of the last five on the road against Power Conference teams. That's not an easy stretch.
I can't imagine the logistics of getting your ass all the way out to Palo Alto for a November game. I mean, conference realignment. It's going to be weird. It's going to take me a while to get my eyeballs adjusted. You know,
yeah,
we're going to get, it's going to be a while for us to get our bearings right.
Yeah. And then the stretch of offenses they play at the beginning, Rich Rod and the challenges playing his offense brings. Georgia Tech had a good offense. They return everybody. Notre Dame's got Riley Leonard, and then SMU's running a version of the Art Briles offense. So that's a unique kind of stretch there for me. I just think the schedule is, you know, much tougher for them. And then they got the one big home game against Miami is kind of the game of the year for them. But it's kind of looks like six road games. So six road games against Power Conference teams. It's not, I think their schedule is on paper, it's much tougher than last year, even though they're playing less Power Conference teams. Because that Jacksonville State team was probably better than that Indiana team last year.
Can't get much easier than it was last year, though. Like it. Speaking of schedules, I'm getting sick and tired of Ross Dellinger reports. Can we get Ross Dellinger to just chill the hell out for a minute? Because it was like 2 weeks of like the playoffs almost done. Actually, We got a TV deal. No, wait, we don't have a TV deal. Okay, the playoff is done. Oh, actually, now we're going to talk about more playoff teams. Nobody's asking for more than 12. We got to 12. We want to see 12. Once we see 12, then let's talk about it. These damn – who we got running the ship here? Just chill out, guys.
You have to use your galaxy brain here. I wrote about this on Friday, KSR Plus, This Week in College Football. How are you going to get that? If you're Greg Sankey, how do I get my members to want to play nine games in conference? Because that's what needs to happen. How do I get this to happen? I find more access to the college football playoff.
But, okay, I'm you're right, and I don't want to cut you off, but you're going to have it. You're going to have the best teams. Who cares? Just make them automatic bids, 12 of them. Like, that's 14.
Yeah. And then also I think you have to remember – Florida State's going to get out of the ACC eventually. And they're going to go to the Big Ten or SEC. And then Clemson's probably going to follow them. And then North Carolina will be after that. And then probably Virginia will land somewhere. So the ACC will dissolve. And so what is the format change like? I think when you kind of, ESPN just signed a 6-year extension, Nick, with the playoff. For $1.3 billion. I believe that's yearly payout.
That doesn't start until
2026.
Well, and that was the deal that wasn't actually a deal. We think it's going to be a deal, but it's not a done deal.
Yeah, they still got to like dot some I's, cross some T's. But I think they got less money than they thought they were going to get for the opening games.
Right, right.
So I think if you're reading in between the lines on this, the suits in Dallas are seeing this, and we got to amp up these opening games. So if you go to a 14-team format, you know, you got your number one over it. One, it makes the regular season really important because if you're the number one overall seed, you get a bye. If you're in 14s, so if you were Michigan last year, it makes that really important to get the number one because it's the NFL. You get the number one seed gets a bye, and then two plays 14, and three all down the line, and you have this huge monstrosity of a first round of the playoffs.
Bracket, yeah.
And so I think – and it gets more brands in that first round because I think when you start looking at some of these projected matchups. Like last year, I get why maybe ESPN isn't super gung-ho about this. Florida State hosts Liberty. Georgia would host Ole Miss, rematch. Ohio State would host Penn State, rematch. Missouri would go to Oregon, which on a national scope is not doing much for people. That's the first round of the playoff. Those games aren't – people are going to watch those games, but they're not bringing in the big ratings. I even did it going back to 2018, Nick, if Kentucky would have made it or would have been close to made it. You would have had UCF at Washington, Michigan – or Washington at UCF, Florida at Michigan, LSU at Ohio State, Penn State at Georgia State. That is better, but I don't think every year something like that is going to be locked in. And so I think for them – they're trying to find a way to sexy up this first round. And I think that's part of it. And then I think they know another change is coming and then it's going to change the bid process. I think they're throwing a bone to the group of five and to some of these other conferences, but they're eventually, in my opinion, going to get to where it's just an at-large situation. And then it's the big question is what they do with conference championship games. Do they need them? And what happens to the bowls? I'm of the opinion that the bowl games need to, like, I'm getting there where we just don't need them anymore. Like, what's the point if we're going to have a 16-team playoff?
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Yeah. Well, and it would be more like the old bowl system because that was about how many teams were playing in bowls, you know, 30 years ago. I love bowl season. I don't want it to go away, but I am very pro get rid of conference championship games because – How many competitive conference championship games have we even seen in the last 8-9 years? The SEC is usually good, but outside of that, it's been 5 years since the Big Ten was worth it. Like it doesn't do it for me.
Even during Saban's run, there was years where they were just hammering Missouri's Jim McElwain, Florida.
Yeah,
they even had a run of blowouts. The Big Ten, the West never won the game. Yeah. And there were usually blowouts. And there was one upset. I think Michigan State beat a really good Wisconsin team 1 year out of the East beating West. But for the most part, the East was just a huge favorite there. So, I get it. I mean, do we really need them? Especially you can just use that day to just have playoff games if you wanted.
Yeah. That's a
– Or take the week off and then do – Army, Navy, and then have playoff kind of surrounding that. But I just – even, like, you look at the group of five, Nick, and, like, when the first plan was to give these teams a bid, like, Cincinnati, Houston, SMU, UCF, they were all a part of that.
Yeah, they're not in so the you group just of five
took,
anymore.
You just essentially took the five best, and now they're in a power conference – or what we call a power conference. I think there's still going to be some moving and shaking – here, but I think that's why they're doing it. I think they're trying to get more money. And I think if they come back with a 14, 16 team model, they can maybe boost up the deal because I think that's the big issue right now. And then I think I think Greg Sankey and Tony Petitti probably aren't super happy with 5+7, but it was kind of agreed to and there's not much they can do about it. But if these conferences blow up again, which my prediction will be that that happens to the ACC, then I could definitely see that occurring where maybe you do three autos with if you have three conferences left and then do 11 at large or 13 at large.
No matter how many playoff games we've got, I'm going to be using FanDuel to wager on them because FanDuel is America's number one sports book and official sports gambling partner with the National Football League. FanDuel, your best place to make prop bets, parlays. I'm a big college basketball prop bet. Loving the Reed Steals props we've been getting as of late.
Yeah.
We still don't have a line right now for Kentucky versus Alabama. But no matter what you're playing, I even got in a little UFC action on Saturday night. Like after the Auburn game, having some celebratory cold ones. Stayed up late watching that.
After taking a bath Super Bowl weekend, I had a nice college basketball weekend. Hit a big parlay. Shout out Steve Alford, Fight Nevada's, not Fight Nevada, Wolfpack, hitting that money line. And then, Nick, I think you were with me, jumping on Kentucky. Sizable. Whenever they're a money line dog over 2-1, they feel like an autoplay. You just got to play them. Any top brand that's not just terrible, if you get them as against a team that they've consistently dominated over years, you almost have to put a sprinkle on it. And then that was a nice little payoff last weekend.
Love that money line. Actually just mad that I didn't invest more against the spread as well. But it was a nice winning weekend with FanDuel, where if you sign up and use promo code personnel, you're going to get $150 in bonus bets with any $5 winning bet. $150 guaranteed. Just head over to FanDuel.com/personnel when you sign up today. Must be 21 plus, present in Kentucky. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. We're also getting into horse racing season. Look at Rebel Stakes tomorrow. Brad Cox's top 2-year-old Timberlake is racing. We'll see if he's worth a damn. He came in fourth in the juvenile. It's his first race as a 3-year-old. So I'll be keeping a close eye on that one, which I believe is down at Oakland Park. A little more news from the college football world. A lot of EA Sports talk the last 24 hours, like it. A lot of EA Sports talk. And the people are fired up about it. I am mildly fired up over it. Just mildly. I think it's one of those things where our kids are too young right now, but like a year or two from now, I think it's going to be like, hey, honey, I think we need to get a PS5 for Christmas so dad can play.
I have thought about that myself, and I am mentally preparing myself for 2030, when me and Baker are probably up till 1 a.m. playing college football,
dynasty mode,
or Madden, or get him hooked on a golf game.
My oldest is going to be 4 in 6 weeks or so, and he's playing Mario Kart right now. Like, he's on the kind of low level basic N64. So I don't think we're quite ready for PS5, but we're going to get there. I really missed out on online gaming like that. It was around when we were in college, but it wasn't great. I would do a little bit of Call of Duty.
But
doing like an online dynasty with your friends, that's got to be a blast. So I just, the big news from the week though is just who's going to be on it. And I like that they've got Herbie with Fowler. I don't understand how, like, shout out to David Pollock's agent for getting him on that game.
Yeah. How does that work? Like, he's going to be on the game day panel. He's not employed by ESPN. I guess they just
they'll probably brand it as their own like EA Sports pregame show, but just not.
Yeah. That makes ESPN. Sense.
Because it's like him, Kevin Connors, and who's the other one? Jesse Palmer. Which, damn it, can we just get Jesse Palmer
on?
Desmond
Howard's
screen?
On there too.
Howard's on there. Okay. But nevertheless, those guys are going to be on it. The nil contracts are out. A lot of like, is $600 enough? And it's like, man, that's like an extra stipend check. Maybe a little less than their stipend check. But, like, I think all of those guys are going to take it just to be in the game.
I mean, there's 133 teams.
34 next year.
134.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, like, that, dude, pull your calculator out and see how much money that is.
You figure.
So that's not that's, a, like, they're paying out a lot.
It's $6 million just on basic math, but they're also playing, like, the Stars. Riley Leonard was one today. Jalen Milroe. The Stars are getting more to promote it. I bet it's closer to like $7-8 million investment when it's all said and done. But you know what? It'll be worth it because they're going to make a buttload of money on this game.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see. Like, I mean, the just reaction online. Now I'm in a diff. Like, I've definitely built a college football centric universe in my social media channels, but. It seems like the game is just going to be like this crazy amount of.
Yeah.
They're going to sell so many copies. I can only imagine. I wonder where it's where they think it's going to register in their all-time sales. I mean, you'd have to imagine it's going to be near the top for EA Sports just because it hasn't been here for a while. There's just a hunger and thirst for it.
How much does a new video game cost?
I would say around $50, $60. Someone in the chat could let us know.
Yeah, I didn't know if it was like if we were up to like 75 now. I remember the good new PS. I remember $40 being a price point about like Xbox 360 days.
60 plus. PS3. I think that sounds right. Jacob Roberts says.
Okay. 60
I think you're looking at like $69.99, $65.99, something around there.
Somewhere around there. That makes sense. Because the big thing is they make more money off of the in-game purchases. You know, what do they call it? Freemium games where you pay to get a legend or whatever, something like that. I'm sure they'll do it. I know FIFA does that where you pay for player cards and you can unlock athlete. You know, it's a whole ordeal. But yeah, I probably won't be on this one, but the hope, and here's some on-air producing peak. We got to get some of the cats streaming on the YouTube channel playing games. So I'm sure we can make that happen at some point this summer when the game comes out. And what I have a feeling will be mid-July.
Yeah, they usually, I remember this, it would usually release like a week or a week and a half before high school football practice started. So high school football practice would start on like July 18th. And I remember the game coming out like the week before that happened. And then that whole week we were just like going to friend's house and playing, you know, playing the game and staying the night over there a couple nights a week, just playing it. And then I remember after practice going and playing it. And so those days are back. Like, I wonder, like, Brock Vandegrift, does he have any memory of playing this game? Because the last chapter was 23. The last chapter was 10 years ago, so he would have been 10.
Okay. Well, so the other thing, too, is that game still had a lot of life in it after the fact, even though they didn't release a new one. So I bet a significant majority played it, or at least their older brothers or some of their older cousins would have it or romanticize about it, because that's nostalgia.
That's a big
part.
It
wraps us in such a warm blanket.
I think for a lot of people, it takes you back to when you really kind of fell in love with the sport, right? Because a lot of people would, like most people, I think, not most, but a lot of people, like it dates back to their college years. And I just remember at UK, I would walk, like, I know we spent a lot of time playing that game. I remember walking in the dorm rooms at 2 a.m. on a Tuesday, and there were guys in the lobby at Hagen Hall playing with Pat White on game day, or on the game. And I can vividly just remember that. And I think that's a lot of people. I think the game, like, takes them back. It takes you back to a certain point in your life. When you, like I talked about, it takes me back to high school football. I just remember that distinctly. I think that game is part of it, and it's part of the, I think, the college football culture we all grew up with.
Well, and for me, like, my first game was NCAA something 98, and I was 7 years old and didn't know the buttons very well, but I knew Kentucky. I would have Tim Couch, and I would just throw it deep to Craig East every play. Like, it was – but as I got older, that's how I got to know other teams. That's how you get exposed to, like, the sport outside of your very narrow focus. But obviously you couldn't play with USC. And USC wasn't even very fun to play with because Reggie Bush, you just hit the spin button whole time.
Well, we've all rage quit against playing versus someone with Vince Young. Everyone my age has rage quit NCAA football because your friend picked Texas and had Vince Young.
Well, you couldn't. That was a team you couldn't play with. You also couldn't play with Ohio State and Troy Smith. He was just too fast, too good that year. They had the impact players. They get the little pulse underneath him. Ah, good stuff.
Well, the best was you could, because they had design playbooks, right? And you could switch up the like you would get West Virginia's playbook because they were running spread options. So if you had a running quarterback that was maybe in a pro style offense, you could just unleash them. So that was fun. And then the Tebow Jenner, I remember Tebow in the game, and that was a big deal with him. People love playing with Tebow. One thing I hope they do, Nick, I hope they One, the cover I would love to see is all the guys that would have been on the cover. That they put them on there. Like Johnny Football. Joe Burrow. I guess you can include Jaden Daniels for this year. And just guys, Derrick Henry, Christian McCaffrey, guys that would have been on the cover, putting them on the cover. And then I hope they, down the line, release, get it like a side thing where you can play with you can play with Johnny Football, right? You can play with LSU, that Burrow and Jefferson and Chase. You can play with teams like you can play with Baker Mayfield's Oklahoma team, play with Patrick Mahomes in Texas Tech.
It's kind of like the NBA games do.
Right. Yeah. I know the NBA, NBA 2K has done that where they brought that back old teams. I hope they do that down the road because I think that's what everyone would want to do is like, you know, be able to play, actually play with Johnny Football, being able to play with that LSU offense.
The biggest thing that they can't beef up though is in dynasty mode, nil in recruiting and the portal, you can have a lot of fun options there. They got to get that right in order for this to be a success. Like that and gameplay are just the two most important things because the others, like you said, they'll get to down the road, which we're still a little ways down the road from Kentucky football spring practice. School hasn't announced anything, but we did have a recruit's parent share the schedule that they've been giving out to recruits, where for the first time, I think ever, Mark Stoops isn't burning some early practices before spring break. They're waiting until after spring break. So that's March 23rd, I think, is their first practice. And we'll get a spring game the Saturday of Masters week. So the week after the Final Four, I believe that's April 13th. But hey, spring game. Wasn't sure if that was going to happen or not, but lock it in.
Yeah, I wish they would just share this, right?
Just say it.
Yeah, I wish they would just go on record. I get that there was a coordinator change that they probably had to figure out, but you know, I wish they would just say, hey, we're having a spring game. It's going to be on this weekend. See you there.
be good to know.
We're like 6 weeks from the announced spring game, and they haven't said they're having a spring game. So I would like for them to put that up, especially since they're already giving out that information, it seems like.
To people outside the calendar. Right, exactly. Yeah. So would be good to know. I'm assuming we'll get something next week. Maybe they're just trying to stagger news out to where – you know, yeah,
I wish they would. It seems like they're not really promoting the program in some ways. And I think this is just one of them. It's not a huge deal, but it's like, hey, like, this is a big event. You know, you haven't really had one with good weather in a half decade. You know, people like going to the spring games. I believe Kentucky plays Tennessee at home in baseball that day. So that isn't Keeneland going on? Like, it could be a huge weekend. Like, let's get it out there and let people plan it. But, you know, they decided not to. So, I get there's like, was a situation there. But, like, let's promote.
Let's get some excitement. Right.
Yeah. The season's over. Like, everyone's ready to move on. Everyone's ready to go see Brock Vandegrift. Everyone's ready to get to know Bush Hamden, offense coordinator. Everyone's ready to tell everyone they know that Deion Walker is the best defensive player in college football. Like, people are ready to move on and like get this thing started. So let's do it. Let's turn the page.
I'm about ready to turn the page and get this weekend started. Appreciate you all joining us on a Friday because basketball schedule makes things weird. We had so much news happen between Tuesday and today. This felt right. We've got NFL Combine next week where works out perfectly. So we'll be talking to you around same time next Friday.
Send draft questions to us and we'll answer some of those. And so it'd be a good time to get some draft questions because there'll be some stuff to talk about, but you know how these interviews go, Nick. Sometimes it's great. Sometimes you get very little.
Well, and sometimes it's a great people watching event. And then other times it feels like the big media members are hiding from us. You know, we're at the bottom end of the totem pole. The big wigs, they're rubbing elbows elsewhere. So they better not hide from us.
It gets like SEC media days that way too, right?
Yeah.
We don't see any of the ESPN guys. But then we turn on TV and it's like, oh, he's there. They're there. They're there. Where are they? And so well, they,
until
you
we,
know.
Until we hit the bars later and then we see them all.
Yeah. Until well, this year, yes. The combine is like that in a way, too. You'll just walk into a restaurant and be like, oh, there's, like we saw Arthur Smith at Kilroy's last year. Oh, there's Atlanta Falcons head coach. Oh, there's
I will here, say,
that.
We did do a good job last year at Media Days where I think we're starting to crack that door, where I think they're going to let us into the Water Network Club of, I think we're getting there with Media Days. NFL, a little bit more challenging, but we'll do our best. And I did see somebody was asking where we're going to eat lunch. There's a 95% chance we'll be at Kilroy's Thursday night eating some cheese sticks. So if you want to come hang, talk a little ball.
That is a very safe estimation by you.
I don't know what it is, but dude, is there no other place that makes stuffed cheese sticks anywhere? They're so damn good. Somebody else get on it. But when I'm in Indy, I got to go to that Kilroy's and eat those stuffed cheese sticks.
Yeah, Kilroy's is unique because you got to be 21 to get in there. So I feel like every time I go into Kilroy's, like it's just, I feel like it's a bar that never stops, right? Like I'm like a Miami nightclub kind of thing. So that's part of it. And yeah, the stuffed cheese sticks are, I mean, you have your shrimp cocktail over there at Elmo's. I go to Indy for the stuffed cheese sticks.
Gosh, I cannot wait. It's going to be a blast. We're going to be having a good time next weekend, Indy. We're going to have a good time this weekend, too. Hopefully, the Cats get it done against Crimson Tide at Rupp. But for now, it's time for us to take a break. We'll see you next week on the KSR YouTube channel. For Adam Black and I'm Nick Roush. Go Cats and go Kroger.